Well, I'm a biologist and I did a PhD in immunology, and I came to London to work in a lab at University College as a postdoc, we call that. And I moved to London with a 6-month-old baby who was my daughter Louise. She's now 30, so that's a long time ago. And so I hadn't really thought about childcare in the UK, or I didn't know how it works. So we moved here, found a flat, and then tried to organize childcare for the baby so that I could go to work. So initially, we lived in the first flat we got was through the university, some people that rented their flat out for a few months. And so we went, by chance, we ended up in Power Square. And then from there, we sort of thought about where do we live next? Knowing that renting isn't that easy, and at the time we're always for sort of fairly short periods, and we were there for 3 years. So we decided to embark on buying a flat, and by sort of chance we found a flat in Oxford Gardens, and then we realized that we were in the catchment area of Maxilla, and that's how we ended up in Maxilla. Louise stayed for until she left nursery school, because she went on to Oxford Gardens Primary School then, and then she went to Middle Row. So she stayed, well, we stayed in the UK until she was 7, because then we moved back to France. Not back to France, but we moved to France. So she did the whole nursery years in Maxilla, moving from the toddlers to the nursery school. And so I think she did, like, until she was 4 and a half, or she stayed there. And then she was joined by her brother, because I had another child in 89, Oscar, who started from the baby room up to the nursery school. I think many things. I suppose the first obvious thing was that it sort of provided childcare with, I think, an attitude towards kids which was very positive. And also, I'm looking for my words in English, being a bit rusty. giving the child the possibility to really develop himself in a given freedom, and to very respectful of the child, but at the same time being very also giving some guidance on what you can and what you cannot do. So I think it was a good mixture of freedom and supervision. Might not be the right term, but that was one thing which I really liked. And then also, I quite liked the attitude towards diversity. Like, they were very good, because I think people that had children in Maxilla came from hugely different backgrounds. But I think once you were in one of the rooms, you couldn't see those differences. Among kids, there were no differences. I mean, there was this sort of equality, and they would, I mean, do all the festivals, for example, which I think was a great way for young kids to learn about each other's cultures and respect different cultures, and see that, well, in fact, you have, like, they had a festival every week, but which I thought was fun, and so from that point of view, I think it was also a great experience for kids, that they would be all together. And I suppose it also transpired on the parents, because people would meet there, they're coming from the social housing, but then the streets a bit further north that were in the catchment area, you had parents that were more professionals, but in the end everyone would sort of mix, and kids would go to each other's house, and that was, I think, very, very nice. I think the atmosphere, the ethos that was inside of Maxilla. mean, that's where I learned the word ethos, in fact. You know, what is the ethos of the school? And I suppose it was sort of imprinting on people that came to Maxilla a lot. I think Judy was very important in that. You know, she could be very attentive to people and caring for people, but she could also be very strict and strong if she thought people were out of place, and she would sort of tell them, you're out of place. Yeah, I remember her sort of telling your dad, well, we do not shout here. And it was, I think he was from a Egyptian or something, where I think shouting is not a problem, like the French shout all the time. It's not really a problem. But, you know, the ethos of the school was, it's a place where people don't shout. So you shouldn't shout. The thing I remember really well is that Judy would be, was obviously help from others, but she would be chasing after money all the time to be able to maintain Maxilla open. And so she had to do, I think, lots of negotiation with the local politicians, and so Maxilla was always, you know, hanging from a thread that was sometimes very fine thread. So the lease was part of that, obviously. Having not being in control of the building was part of that permanent insecurity of, okay, we know we're going to have enough money for the next year or for the next 2 years. And that is something which I find, you know, strange. I feel like the state should do more, but it's this mixture between having a charitable organization and having things state run. So because it's charitable, you can run it the way you want, but then you always have to find money to subsidize that way of working. Well, if it's state run, then obviously the state will get mixed up and ask you to run it in a certain way. But, you know, for us it was really, I mean, it was the money point of view, it's obviously very important, but I think it also helped us to integrate in the community and to meet, I mean, we met all our friends that we're still in contact with through Maxilla, in fact, so that's, you know, that was also very important for us, so that we met all these people that, in fact, were sharing sort of similar ideas or similar way of life or values, we would say. And so we kept in contact with these people for, you know, like the last 20 years, which is also nice. Eating is a good example. You know, like in Maxilla, they were allowed from a very young age to pour their own orange juice. And when they were two or three, they would eat by themselves. Nobody would feed them. Obviously, they were learning, so they would sometimes pour orange juice next to the cup, or they would sometimes drop the food in on their front. But it was sort of teaching, learning, and I think, you know, in other settings, people would think it's more important that there's no oranges on the table and no food on their front, and so we're just going to tell them not to do it and do it for them. And that's, again, it's a part of the philosophy, you know, like, can you let children learn by themselves, or do you have to teach them, no, you're going to do this way? So that's also part of the ethos, and I suppose because of that, I think kids, wherever they were from, could, again, learn together, and there was this sort of equality between kids. I mean, Maxilla was, I would say, you know, for anyone coming from outside, you would say, well, I'm going to put my kids in a nursery that's under the motorway. People would think, you're mad. I mean, I suppose now it would be even worse that we know all the, you know, bad effects pollution can have on people's health. But anyway, so Maxilla from the outside was exactly, you were under the flyover, and it wouldn't be the nicest place in the world. And the part of Maxilla facing on the street, if you can call this the street, you know, was a bit bleak somehow. And then you would walk in, and then you would have the rooms with the kids, and that was already quite nice because you had all the toys and obviously full of colors and corners where kids could play and relax. So, and then you had the garden, and that was sort of wonderful because the back of Maxilla was like, you know, a little park, and the garden was great, and there was free access for at least the nursery school to the garden. And so if you had kids that were a bit hyperactive, they could, you know, go in the garden and run around and spend half of the day in the garden. And I just thought this was great. And the vision of Maxilla from the garden point of view, or from the pass under the flyover point of view, was like two different worlds. It was like a little oasis, you know, like with this wonderful garden, which I think the kids just loved. They had bicycles and they could race around. And well, I suppose now people might go on about security and you're not allowed to race too fast on your bike. But I don't think there was ever a major accident. No, it was a wonderful place, Maxilla. I think it was really great. And I think it's really sad that it's gone, because it was an example on how to deal with multiculturalism, also social mixing background. Because kids just, you know, played with all the kids, and you know, it's a community. So how can you create a community where people respect each other and start knowing each other? And it's a bit sad that it's been sort of abandoned, because you know, there's still need for that in that area, even if maybe the divide between the north of the flyover and the south of the flyover has maybe increased, I mean, over the last 20 years. But I'm sure there's still space for that.